You know, before I begin to talk about a lot of the issues surrounding jobs and incomes that I have put at the centerpiece of my campaign, I want to say a few words about what happened last night in Chicago. You know, we will always have our differences. That's what happens in a democracy, and it is healthy for us to debate, to dialogue, to disagree. But the ugly, divisive rhetoric we are hearing from Donald Trump and the encouragement he has given to violence and aggression is not only wrong, it's dangerous, my friends. You know, if you play with matches, you can start a fire you can't control. That is not leadership, it is political arson. The test of leadership and of citizenship is absolutely the opposite in our country. If you see bigotry, you should oppose it. If you see violence, you should condemn it. And if you see a bully, you should stand up to him. Now, look, I know it is no secret many people are angry on both the left and the right, and for some very good reasons. Many people haven't recovered from the Great Recession. Many people have gotten a raw deal for a long time. Our economy and our politics have failed to deliver results the way we should expect. But I believe with all my heart we can only fix what's broken if we stand together against the forces of division and discrimination that are trying to divide America between us and them. And so what does that mean? That means finding common ground whenever we can and holding our ground whenever we must. That means working for real solutions to our problems, not making promises we can't keep or proposals that don't add up. You know, we are here in a union facility, and I know the carpenters understand, and members of the labor movement understand. You built this country. You built the American middle class. And as Nathan said, we look out for each other. We're all in this together. So we do have to bargain together, stick together, and resist together whenever anyone comes along who tries to divide and conquer. You know, you don't make America great by getting rid of everything that made America great in the first place. And I believe that we have work to do because our values, our diversity, our openness, those are strengths, not weaknesses. So we're not here to erect more walls except when they hold up a house or a commercial building. We are here to break down all the barriers that are holding people back and to build those ladders of opportunity and empowerment so every American, especially our young Americans, have the chance to live up to their God-given potential, because then and only then can America live up to its potential too. You know, my opponent in the primary has decided to close this election by attacking me and misrepresenting my record and his own. Now, that's his choice. But I believe strongly that I'm the only one in this campaign on either side who has a plan to create good-paying jobs and raise incomes so people can get ahead and stay ahead. That is my goal. That's why I voted for the auto bailout when it counted. And he didn't. That's why I support providing help to exporters in Missouri, from the small businesses to Boeing, which means a lot of people in this state have good-paying jobs because we support exports to the rest of the world. Senator Sanders voted with the Republicans against providing that assistance. And you know, the loans get paid back. The guarantees get paid back. The Treasury's not out a penny. And why one would be against small and medium-sized businesses in Missouri or anywhere being able to get into foreign markets. And I know how important that is, because I'll tell you this, every other government in Europe and Asia, they support their exporters. So we can't walk away from supporting our exporters. And that creates good-paying jobs. Now, we all have to agree to do a lot more to protect Main Street from Wall Street, from powerful corporations and foreign countries like China that are always attempting to take advantage of American workers. You know, I've gone toe-to-toe with China on everything from climate change to human rights to underhanded trade practices, and you can count on this. I'm the only one on either side who has saved jobs that were threatened by China, and I can't wait, if you support me, to be in a position where I can save a lot more jobs. But we can't stop there. It's not enough just to tell you what we want to stop in terms of bad things that are happening. We need a positive agenda. That's why I stand behind creating more jobs, more innovation, supporting small businesses, and standing up for unions. We don't have a single-issue economy, and we can't afford a single-issue president. You know, to build a stronger economy, we need to invest a whole lot more in infrastructure today. That means repairing our roads, our bridges, our ports, our airports. Let's start preparing the locks on the Mississippi so we can actually get some energy from that incredibly powerful river. Let's connect every home to high-speed, affordable internet. Let's make sure that we build the modern electric grid and energy infrastructure that will make us the clean energy superpower of the 21st century. Let's invest in more transit and high-speed rail so people can actually get to the jobs that are available. Building strong infrastructure requires building a strong and skilled workforce. That's why we do need to do more to help young people enter the skilled trades. You know, as Nathan said, let's get more women, more veterans, more people of color through the door. Programs like the Building Union Diversity Initiative in St. Louis shows how we can do that. And let's create a tax credit to encourage more high-quality apprenticeship programs to move Americans forward with their skills and their job opportunities. As I was doing the tour, I met a lot of the young people who are now training in this four-year program. And I asked, well, so what are the payoffs? Have you done an analysis to demonstrate how much money contractors actually save? Because as Nathan said, this is a partnership between the union and the contractors, between labor and business. Isn't that the way we should be operating across America in every single field? And these apprentices are being paid while they are in the program. They earn while they learn. They start off at more than $14 an hour, and then they build from there. So I want to encourage a tax credit so more businesses will provide paid apprenticeships. It's not fair that only people who come from well-off families get to have internships and apprentices. We need to open the door for every young American. That's why I will always have workers' backs. It is not a coincidence that the vast majority of unions in our country have endorsed me, because they know I will stand with them. The jobs that are in the trades are often tough and dangerous jobs that do take training and skill. And we're not going to let anybody undermine collective bargaining rights or prevailing wage standards or project labor agreements. We're going to make sure that careers in the building trades remain a ladder right into the middle class. That's why I stood with unions and with Governor Nixon in the fight against the so-called Right to Work bill. You beat it back in this state. That was a big victory, and we can do it again and defeat the paycheck deception effort, too. And while we're at it, we need to make sure women finally get equal pay for the work we do. We have to break down all the barriers that stand in the way of any person getting ahead, and that includes barriers of bigotry and discrimination. I'm very proud that the Democrats in the state Senate stopped an attack on the rights of LGBT people in this state this week. I think it should be fundamental, no matter who you are, what you look like, who you love, you deserve to be treated and served equally by businesses and by your government. Now, I want you to know that if you honor me by supporting me in this primary, I will do everything I can every single day during this campaign to stand up for these values and to take on whoever the Republicans nominate, because there is so much at stake in this election. And I need your help. So as you talk with people between now and when the polls close on Tuesday, I want you to remember just a few things. When Democrats are in the White House, the economy does better. Organized labor does better. Young people do better. We've had two Democratic presidents recently, and I know them both. And just let me put this in context, because some people may be a little young to remember the 1990s. But everybody did well. Everybody willing to work in the 1990s did well. We had 23 million new jobs, but more importantly than that, we had incomes rising for everybody. Not just people at the top, middle-class families, working families, poor families. The median family income went up 17%, and the median family income for African Americans went up 33%, because there is nothing better than a good job to lift you up. A and more people were lifted out of poverty. Now, it's fair to say, well, what happened? I'll tell you what happened. The Republicans got back into the White House, and they went right back to trickle-down economics, cutting taxes on the wealthy, getting out of the way of the financial markets, the mortgage markets. So then we had another new, young Democratic president, and they handed him the worst financial crisis since the Great Depression. We were losing 800,000 jobs a month. Don't let your friends forget that. Anybody who doesn't remember may somehow be fooled into voting for the Republicans again. And we know what they will do. They are telling us what they will do. We lost 9 million jobs. 5 million homes were lost. That is all because of failed Republican policies. So when the president came in, you think he wanted to spend his time trying to dig us out of the ditch the Republicans had put us in? No. But I don't think he gets the credit he deserves for actually digging us out of that ditch. So, we've created new jobs, but not enough. And Americans haven't had a raise yet. That will be my job as your president. I will get up every single day in the White House looking at all of the economic data and say, what are we going to do to raise incomes? How are we doing in St. Louis? How are we doing in Chicago? How are we doing in Cleveland? Are we lifting people up? Are we giving them a better chance to fulfill their own potential? That's what it's about for me. But I can't do it without your help on Tuesday. I need you to talk to your friends and your neighbors, your family members, your colleagues at work, because the stakes are so high in this election. You know, this campaign will either drive us further and further apart, which will please the people on the top, I can tell you that right now. Because when we're divided, they just go along their merry way, getting whatever they can get, keeping whatever they can take. Or we're going to pull together and stand up against those powerful forces. And I always get a little chuckle when I hear my opponent talking about doing it. Well, I don't know where he was when I was trying to get health care in 93 and 94, standing up against the insurance company, standing up against the drug companies. And you got to ask yourself, why are the Republicans, whenever I run for anything, always trying to beat me? Because they know I say what I mean and I do what I say. So please, join me, join Nathan Garrett, join the carpenters who've endorsed me, join everybody who wants to fight for a better future, to get the results that we deserve to have, to build the kind of opportunities that all of us know we need. If you fight for me, if you vote for me, I can tell you this, I will do everything I can, every single hour of every single day, to deliver results for all of you. Let's go build the future that our country deserves together. Thank you, and God bless you.